Don't try this at home. I'm a trained professional. I got years and years of practice living this life I lead. Don't try this at home. I'm a trained professional. And I don't want no amateurs ending up like me. I don't want no amateurs ending up like me.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Homeowner's Friend Podcast. I'm Steve, your host, and on today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about tornadoes and their effects on homes and how to protect yourself from one as much as possible. Before we get into that, though, I want to briefly do our housekeeping segment here. The email is steve@hofpodcast.com. If you care to drop me an email, ask a question, make a comment. The show web address, of course, is hofpodcast.com, where you can find all the old episodes. If you go back down near the bottom and keep hitting the older post button, you can go all the way back through to episode number one. I think there's only like 50 or so on iTunes if that's how you get the show, which most of you do. But if you go to the show, you can actually go to the show webpage, you can actually get the older shows as well. And of course, we're on Facebook. Just type in HOF Podcast in the search box at the top, and we should pop up. Hit the old familiar log cabin picture there, or the writing, and you should get right into our page, and then just hit the like button and you'll become a fan of the show, and you'll get updates on your Facebook wall page there when we do new shows or put other information out that I think you might be interested in. Last but not least is, of course, the tool store, the Amazon.com tool store. I ask, please, if you're going to buy anything from Amazon anyway, to go in to the Amazon site through our webpage. It takes basically no time for you to do that. Just go to hofpodcast.com, and at the top, there's a button that says Tool Store. Click on that, and that brings you to another page, and then there's a link there. You just click on the Tool Store link, and it brings you right into my Tool Store at Amazon. It just taken, if you see something there, if you're looking for a tool, cordless drill or something, I've got some there that are picked out, and there's some books, I think, and other things that you can look at there. But if you want to go into the full site, just hit the Powered by Amazon button, and as soon as you do that, you'll get into the full Amazon.com site, and you can go ahead and purchase anything that you would normally buy from Amazon. And I know a lot of folks buy a lot of things from Amazon, and whatever you buy, I think the show gets a 6% commission on. So that helps cover the cost of the hosting and stuff, so that I don't have to. It's really an easy way for you to support the show, and I'm certainly grateful for those of you that do that. So getting into the show, there's been a lot of stories in the news lately about some pretty bad tornadoes. Of course, the biggest one being the Joplin tornado. Joplin, Missouri, went through this small city, medium, large town, whatever it is. I've never been there, but it's a pretty good-sized town. Went right through the middle of it and just clobbered it. I mean, it wiped out three-quarters of the buildings in the town, and I mean wiped them out. There's nothing left. This was a really large killer tornado. it just obliterated everything in its path. It even hit a hospital and did major, major damage to the hospital. The hospital cannot function anymore. They actually had to put a tent hospital up in the parking lot to be able to handle the people that still live around there, to be able to give them care. There's an interesting blog, which I'll try and put out on the show webpage, that is from a doctor that actually went through that storm. And he was on duty in the ER when it hit. And he was talking about how they were preparing before, what happened during the storm, and then the immediate after effects, and what they were doing to help people, and people that were coming in hurt, and all that kind of stuff. Very interesting reading if you're into that kind of thing. And there's also a linked Flickr account, I think it is, one of those photo sites where you can go look at photos of the hospital, hundreds of photos. Very, very, very telling. The hospital is completely trashed. I mean, it's still standing. It's a steel frame building. But all the windows are blown out, a lot of the walls, roofs damaged, even interior walls and all the interior furnishings and stuff. A lot of that's all trashed. Amazing damage. Really, really serious. The tornado just hit right up the road from my house here up in Springfield, Mass., about an hour away. Just a small, relatively small tornado, but really bad damage, and actually four people died. And one particular family, a lady, I guess, jumped in the tub on top of her 15-year-old to protect her 15-year-old, and the lady ended up getting killed, and the daughter got some pretty major serious injuries to her legs, I guess, but she survived, and the father survived somehow too. He was somewhere else in the house, I don't know exactly where, but just goes to tell you how dangerous and how life shattering these storms can be. So I thought it would be appropriate to do a show on tornadoes and their effects on homes and things that you can do to help protect yourself from the storm. I can't say strong enough that if an F4 and F5 hit your house and it's a wood frame house, you're screwed. I mean, there's not much you can do to build a wood frame house that's going to withstand that. Short of having a tornado shelter, which we'll talk about, your chances of surviving that are not going to be real good. You might, you know, you can get into an inside room, as we'll talk about, and stuff like that, and your chances will be a lot higher. But boy, there's going to be some extremely serious damage to your home and perhaps to you, which is the unfortunate thing. I'm just saying that because they're very, very serious storms. The good news, if there's a good news with tornadoes, is that generally speaking, and Joplin, Missouri's certainly not vindicative of this, but, you know, and every year there's a few Joplin-type storms, but most tornadoes are relatively local events. I mean, they come down, they're a certain width, they travel for a certain distance, and then they go back up into the sky. The damage is very severe where they are, but there's many more areas where they are not that are not damaged much at all, if at all. And a lot of tornadoes aren't that strong either. I mean, a lot of tornadoes, you're going to get F1 or F2, is not necessarily going to destroy a wood frame home if it's built correctly. So, but of course, again, if you hit an F5, the chances of surviving that, of your home anyway surviving that, are pretty slim. Why I'm saying this is that unless you get hit by one of the real whoppers, you can make it through this, and your home can make it through this, and a lot of homes do. A lot of them sustain some damage, but a lot can make it through. So it's not like, I guess some people have the attitude, I'm not going to worry about tornadoes. If one hits, I'm dead anyway, or my house is trashed, you know. That's not necessarily the attitude to have, because a lot more people are around the tornado that don't actually get hit directly. And a lot of people are on the very edges that get hit a little bit, you know, and those people there that have the stronger homes fare better than those that have the weaker homes. So it definitely, and that's more, probably more people are affected like that than are actually affected by the direct hit. Even when one of these storms goes through, there's typically other ancillary nasty weather associated with them, from huge hail to very, very strong winds. Not tornadic force winds, but just very, very strong winds. And sometimes those elements can do a lot of damage too, not as much necessarily as the tornado, but certainly a lot of damage. And then, of course, you're looking at other storms like hurricanes, which again are very similar. And, you know, building your home tough to begin with will help withstand those kinds of storms too. And really, it doesn't cost much to put these measures in, frankly. And I think it makes sense to do it. And it is code in many areas, depending on where you live. Most areas have codes for these high winds that you have to do this stuff anyway if you're going to follow the code. Let's talk real briefly about what happens in a tornado and the three major factors that trash homes and people, for that matter. The first one is obvious. That's the strong winds. You've got up to 250 mile-an-hour winds blowing around, or more even, blowing around in your average tornado. Extreme winds can do extreme damage, right? Just that's a lot of wind. It's going to uproot trees, and it's going to knock stuff down. There's just no question about it. But the second element of that, which I think is even more destructive, and it's really why most people die in tornadoes, from what I've heard, is the fact that those high winds pick things up and turn them into missiles. Things like chunks of tree, things like pieces of plywood or pieces of 2x from houses that got trashed, stop signs. The doctor was saying that a person in the parking lot, this is kind of graphic, but a person in the parking lot got impaled by a stop sign. Perfect example. That person might have survived if that stop sign didn't go through them. But that's what I'm talking about. Those projectiles go flying around in these storms, and they're very, very dangerous. Glass is a big one. Glass is blowing all over the place. A big hunk of glass hits you, can very easily slice you up and let you bleed out in a very short period of time, which is why they say that, you know, the flying debris is perhaps the most dangerous aspect of a tornado. And being inside a house doesn't necessarily protect you from this. I don't know if it was Mythbusters or some show, I forget what show it was, but they were, I don't think it was Mythbusters, anyway, some show, I watched it a couple of years ago. They were testing various building materials against these kinds of projectiles, and what they had is this cannon type thing, and they would put a piece of 2x4 in it, and with a burst of air or something, they could actually launch that 2x4 butt end first, so it was, you know, flying through the air like a spear. It was a piece of 8-foot 2x4. And that piece of 2x4 could be shot at varying speeds up to like 200, 250 miles an hour. And they would shoot that thing from a few feet away at different kinds of walls made of different kinds of materials. And every damn wall, including brick walls, were no match for that board. It went right through like butter. Boom. You know, just shot right through the wall. The brick kind of slowed it down a little bit, but it still made it through. So there's not much you can do to stop this stuff, you know, when it starts flying. It is extremely dangerous. The third element in these storms, of course, is the vacuuming effect. When the storm's over the top of your house, it starts sucking up like a vacuum cleaner everything within the storm's, you know, mouth, so to speak. And when your house is normally sitting there, it normally equalizes to the same air pressure as the outside air, obviously, the normal barometric pressure for the area, 30 cubic inches or whatever it is. When the storm suddenly goes over your house and the air pressure drops quickly, your house is still kind of pumped up inside, that puts added strain on the home because it becomes like a balloon at that point, filled with air, and that air wants to escape. So it actually starts pushing out on the walls and roof. Between that and the fact that the wind is sucking up on it and you've got all the lateral winds and everything else happening, it's how homes tend to get completely destroyed in these storms. It'll suck the roof off the house and then knock the walls in, and then that's all there is to it. I mean, it'll just eat the house right apart. And between that and all the stuff that's blowing around, that's why I'm saying a wood frame house is pretty tough to you know, to make it through, unfortunately, if you get hit by an indirect hit by one of these things. There are ways to survive, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but excuse me, but it's you know, it's definitely difficult to do. There's a lot of wise tales out there about how to you know, help your home survive these things. You know, I've seen people say, even with hurricanes, put tape on your windows. Well, that doesn't help your windows from breaking or stop them from breaking. What it does is it helps keep the glass from flying if they do break. Maybe. I don't even put much belief in that, frankly. They say put an X on your windows. You see that all the time with hurricanes. I don't think it really does much good. The other thing they say is to open your windows, because when the tornado gets overhead and you get that vacuuming effect, if your windows are open, the air will escape out of your house, and it'll be less apt to lose its roof. You know, in theory, it sounds good, and it's probably true. However, I think if a tornado hits your house, and it hits your house head-on, where you're going to be inside the tornado, I don't think you're going to have any windows left to begin with anyway. Once that initial wind hits, it's probably going to knock half the windows in the house out anyway. So, I mean, I certainly wouldn't run around your house opening windows. I would be seeking shelter rather than opening up the windows. I think the storm is going to do that for you rather effectively if you get hit directly. Unless you've got hurricane, proof windows or something, they're going to break out. With all that debris in the wind, they're not going to make it. So, so that's kind of a wise tale, I think. But what can you do? If you're building a house, or even if you have an existing house, there's ways to do this. You need to make sure you follow the building code for your area, and typically that includes the requirement to install some kinds of hurricane or tornado-type strapping. What these are, like, there's a company called, I think it's Stinson Strong Tie, I think it's called, that makes these, but there's other companies that make them too, I'm sure. And what they are various kinds of custom-built straps. They're pieces of metal that are, you know, a couple feet long, and they've got certain bends in them. And what they do is they fit over the roof rafter or the truss that's the roof of your home. They kind of hook over the top, and then they're long, and they go down beside the truss, and they actually hooked down and around the wall of the home. And they've got holes in them, and you nail them to the wall and you nail them to the truss. And what this does very effectively is to tie the truss to the wall. Without these, what usually happens, and especially in the old days how they used to do it, is they would just lay the truss on top of the roof and they would toenail the truss. And that would keep it from kind of kicking out. And then they would, you know, they would put the normal bracing that they usually do. And then they would put the plywood on it. And that kind of holds it all together and it's all fine and dandy. Until you get a vacuum effect. When you get a vacuum effect and there's something pulling up on the roof, those toenails let go. A nail is most strong in its when the force against the nail is perpendicular to the nail, in a shearing type force. Nails are not strong at all when the force is pulling up, up towards the head of the nail. And, you know, it's pretty obvious you can bang a nail into a piece of wood and take a hammer and very easily, you know, put the hammer head over the over the nail and pull the nail right out. Not hard to do that. If you have a big truss with a big piece of plywood on it, that's being sucked up by the wind, you know, that's the equivalent of probably quite a few hammers. So it's going to take out a whole bunch of those nails. Not going to take the nails out. It's going to lift the truss up. The nails are going to come out of the wood. But if you have if you have a force that's on a nail, going across the nail, diagonally across the nail. Like for example, if you had a nail in a piece of wood, and you put the hook around the nail on the side, and tried to pull the nail sideways, you'd have to pretty much break the wood to get that nail out. It just you're not going to get it out. It's very, very strong that way. And that's what happens with these ties, is all the force, that pulling force, is acting in a shear manner against the nails. And it's a very, very strong system. And the straps themselves are very strong. They're probably designed to hold up beyond the point where the wood itself would splinter. If you get an F5, that's likely to happen. But certainly with a lesser storm, that will help hold your roof down on your home and keep it tied to the walls. You know, things like your plywood should also be nailed or screwed enough, you know, according to code, to hold it down also. Your shingles and things like that, you're going to lose those. That's expendable. You can put a new roof on pretty easily. You know, roofing, shingles and stuff like that. But the actual structure of the home, if you use these tie downs, has a much better chance of surviving. I mentioned earlier these hurricane kind of windows, these hurricane proof or hurricane resistant windows. Not a bad idea to put in your home either if you're in these kind of zones. They will hold up to the wind and a certain amount of the debris, and will protect the occupants from your hurling debris better than a normal window will. You know, they're not perfect, but they're better than a normal window. So that's another thing you can do. But you know, the best thing you can do to protect yourself from one of these storms is when you're building the house, do this normal stuff. You know, make the house as strong as you can, but install within the house some kind of a safe room. You can buy these things. There's companies that make them out of metal, and you can make one also out of concrete. Basically, just a very strong box that's built into the house, maybe into a closet, with a heavy door, and you go in this thing and you close the door, and it is truly tornado proof. Tornado will hit the house, will obliterate the house, and this little room will be still standing at the end of the day, perhaps dented a little bit, but still standing. And if you can get into that thing before the storm, you're likely to be just fine. I heard a report on the news that FEMA actually pays for some of these. They have grants or something, or rebates. I don't know how it works, but if you're thinking about getting one, it's worth looking into that. I did hear that, and I certainly would not build a home in Tornado Alley without one of these things. If you already have a home or can't afford one, you can also kind of make one yourself. It probably won't be as good, certainly, but you can make one that will be better than nothing. You know, it's all a matter of degree. It's like when I talked about safes. You know, you could buy a cheap safe which will keep out common petty criminals and will probably protect your the stuff that you have in the safe from a very minor fire or whatever. Or you can get a really good safe that costs a lot more money that'll protect you from any more perils. But the cheap safe will probably be good enough. You know, it'll probably keep out the most common kinds of problems that you might experience. You know, just building some kind of a safe house with a safe room within your house will help a lot if there's a storm. If you build it well, you could build it out of. You could take an interior closet, for example, if you can have a good interior closet on the first floor. If you don't have a basement, which of course is the best place, I would definitely build one in the basement if you had a basement. But you could take that interior closet and you could screw, you know, plywood to the walls and to the ceiling, a couple layers of plywood, screw it all really good and tight. You know, maybe even make up some kind of straps to help hold it down to the floor. And you could get in that room and it'll provide more protection than will that closet with just sheetrock. Because the plywood will help hold it all together. The plywood gives you a certain amount of resistance to flying debris. Certainly a 2x4 if flying is going to go right through it, but it's better than nothing. You could do something like that. You could even take an interior closet and you know, get cement block with mortar and, you know, cement block up the inside of that closet. I mean, it would make the closet smaller, but it would make it a lot safer. There's a lot of things you can do, you know, then maybe put a concrete top on it or something. You know, just put a piece of plywood on top of the wall and some forms around and, you know, put some concrete up there a few inches thick with some rebar. That would be a pretty strong, you know, especially you have to put rebar in the walls as well. You know, you have to think about this. I'm not exactly telling you how to do it, but I'm just kind of giving you some ideas. You could do something like that and it would give you a space that's a lot safer in one of these storms. Certainly a basement is the best place to be. If you were to take a corner of a basement and you know, using cinder block or even using, you know, maybe 2x6s with a double layer of plywood and made a little box in the corner, you know, big enough for your family to get into and be reasonably comfortable, and put kind of a roof on it with, you know, maybe more 2x6s and make sure it's fastened well to the wall and fastened well to the floor, you know, and use ties and stuff. If you were to crawl in that box in one of these storms, you would probably be just fine. You're underground, so you're not going to get hit by that extreme wind. And whatever does make it down will not make it through your little box because you're going to build it pretty well. And even if there's some of the house collapsing on you or something, the box will probably give you some pretty good protection. So you could do something like that, pretty low cost, and it would help you. If you don't have that, or don't have even money to do that, you know, just walk around your house now and try and find a spot that would be the most interior area. That would be the safest spot in a tornado. Obviously, the first floor, if you don't have a basement, in your basement, if you do. Interior room, if there is one, an interior bathroom, an interior closet, or even just the interior. A lot of homes now are very open in their floor plans. Even a wall that's kind of an interior wall, if it's just a wall that divides, you know, two parts of a room or something, that's still the most interior portion of the home. That would be better than nothing. Perhaps you can make a plan to slide a couple of couches over. Put the couches next to the wall and hop in behind the couch, between the couch and the wall. The couch will provide a certain amount of protection from that flying debris. And it'll also provide a certain amount of protection if the house collapses around you to some extent. It'll help hold up the debris. If you have a heavy table or something, maybe you slide the heavy table over, like your dining room table, slide that over real quick. And then, you know, slide some couches and chairs up against that and then get underneath the table. That would be certainly better than nothing. You know, come up with a plan like this and you know, practice it with your family and get to be able to do it quickly. When the tornado's, you know, knocking at your door, it is not the time to figure out how to do this. You should have it already figured out and you should have a plan. And of course, the plan is useless if you don't know the hurricane's coming. So make sure you have a way to know the hurricane, or the tornado rather, is coming. If you have tornado sirens in your area, those are great. But I would certainly recommend getting a weather radio. These things are not very expensive, and they have them now that you can actually program the type of perils that will make them sound instead of every little, you know, thunderstorm. And, you know, get one of those. They're battery backup and everything else. So you plug that thing in, it'll make sure and wake you up in the middle of the night if something's coming that you need to know about. Otherwise, you're liable to sleep through it and wake up to the sound of the freight train hitting your house, which wouldn't be good. You know, tornado sirens, they can fail. You know, another tornado could hit the power grid, or could hit the, you know, the place where those signals are sent out, or perhaps something just won't work. You know, you're better off to have that backup if you need it. I was listening to WTIC, which is a big radio station in Hartford, one of the biggest AM radio stations in the state, and, you know, one of the biggest ones in the Northeast. and they had the hurricane, or when we had those tornado warnings from Mass, they went into that that NOAA emergency broadcasting system thing, and you heard all the beeps and everything else, and then it went to what was supposed to be a rebroadcast of a radio broadcast coming from FEMA, obviously. But the thing was so noisy, you couldn't hear it. You literally could not hear what they were saying. It sounded like there was two different stations coming in at the same time, but neither of them were really making it. It was just all staticky and garbly. You know, we couldn't understand a word they said. If that was a major storm coming down, we would, you know, and it was hitting our area, we would have no idea what it was. We wouldn't even know there was a tornado coming. We could not understand what was said. And that was right on that big radio station. So you can't really rely on this stuff, 100%. It usually works. You know, it's a good system, but it's got flaws like everything else. So always have a backup. The old saying, two is one and one is none. If you have two of something and one breaks, you still have one. If you have one and something breaks, you have nothing. So it's always good to have a backup of everything that's important like that. So like I say, get yourself a weather radio. They're really pretty cheap. And come up with a plan to protect yourself and your family if one of these storms hits. Very, very important. The last thing I want to talk about is there are some structures that can actually kind of withstand one of these kinds of storms. Steel framed buildings hold up a lot better, but it depends on what the siding material is. Because a lot of steel frame buildings have, you know, normal kinds of materials for siding, and that can give. The home might still be standing, but again, like that hospital, it'll be really, really damaged. But chances are it won't collapse. So steel would be a little bit of a better option than a wood-framed home. Kind of the next step up would be certainly any kind of concrete or block-type house that's actually structurally made of concrete or made of cinder block that has adequate rebar in it. Concrete is a very heavy, a very strong material. That heavy 2x4 hitting that, it might make it through, but it probably won't, you know, because the concrete is so heavy and so dense itself that it's kind of like a little Honda Civic hitting a Lincoln. You know, it might do some damage, but it's probably not going to make its way through. So that's always a good material to build out of. If you were to build one of these homes with these insulated forms, and if you were to put the rebar in it like you were supposed to, you'd probably be in pretty good shape come time if a tornado hit. I no guarantees expressed or implied, but I bet you your home would stand up much, much better than any of your neighborhood homes if they were all standard stick-built homes. Having said that, it could still come down if it's a really, really bad storm, but chances are it would survive a lot better. And certainly, your windows and stuff are probably going to break unless you have the hurricane windows, which, you know, would probably hold up to some extent to a tornado. But it would be a pretty good system. That would be pretty safe. Or just having standard concrete walls would also be very, very, very safe in that kind of a storm. Of course, it's only safe as the roof, too. The roof has to be made very ruggedly as well. If you just have concrete walls but then have a light metal, framed roof, like a commercial type roof, the roof's going to get torn off. So you got to do something with the roof's got to be like made out of concrete or something, too, to hold up to that force. Something that's really heavy and really beefy and very, very strong. Probably the best design structure for this kind of event that I can think of would be a monolithic concrete dome home. There's a company in Texas I know that makes them. I actually visited that site and was really impressed with these structures. And they have actually been hit. I think I remember reading or seeing or hearing or something that they've actually been hit by tornadoes and they don't get damaged. Because it's kind of a dome structure, there's really no place for the wind to really catch them. The wind just kind of goes over the top of them because there's no vertical line, so that helps a lot. But also, a dome is the most structurally sound shape there is. You could take an egg that's basically in the shape of a cube of a dome. You know, it's a round surface, and you can squeeze in on that egg pretty hard before it breaks. If you take the egg after it's broken and take a piece of the eggshell and try and break it between your fingers, very easy to break, but much harder to break that egg when it's in its oval or round shape. Those monolithic domes are very, very strong the way they're made, and I think if there was a tornado coming down on me and I had a choice, I'd want to be in one of those things. I definitely want to be in one of those things. I think I would probably skate right through even an F5 in one of those things. I really think you'd do pretty good, unless it was really, really severe. There was some really big stuff flying around in that storm. So there are options, folks, but, you know, it depends on where you live and how often, you know, these kinds of things happen. You take an area like Dallas, Texas, where these things hit all the time, or in Oklahoma and different places. You know, there's millions and millions of people that live in these areas, and there's millions of homes, and, you know, most of them, you know, will last their full lifetime without ever getting hit by a tornado. It's an odds thing. You're not very, you know, you're probably more lucky, more apt to, you know, hit lottery than get hit by a tornado. But it does happen. So, you know, it's one of those things in balance. I wouldn't, you know, double the price of your house. If you're building a house, I wouldn't spend an extra $300,000 to make it, you know, tornado proof. But if I could, for a little bit of extra money, make it a little bit more tornado proof, a little bit more rugged, I would certainly do that. But again, it's all a matter of degrees. It's all a matter of how much you want to spend, how much money you have, and how important all this kind of stuff is to you. I mean, I think most people are going to feel that it's very important. But it's more important to own a house that's reasonably safe than to not own one that's perfectly safe. So that's my thought on the matter. So with that, hopefully I've given you some interesting thoughts on tornadoes, and hopefully it was interesting for you. So with that, I'll sign with you, and I want to thank you for listening to the Homeowners Run Podcast. Take care, folks. Thanks a lot.
Don't try this at home. I'm a trained professional. I got years and years of practice living this life I lead. Don't try this at home. And I don't want no amateurs ending up like me. I don't want no amateurs ending up like me.
The Homeowner's Friend theme song, Trained Professionals by Billy Bourbon, is available on musicalley.com. Check them out.